Good evening, I bring you greetings from Cross Lanes. It's the 1st of July 2020. We come now to our midweek meeting. May the Lord richly bless you as you worship in your own homes. May the Lord bless the preaching of the word, and may the Lord help later as we turn to him in prayer. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Our first praise is Psalm 22, and it's the portion from verses 22 through to verse 27, and the tune is Minver. Psalm 22, verses 22 through to verse 27, and the tune is Minver. I will show forth thy name unto those that my brethren are, amidst the congregation, thy praise I will declare.
Yeah.
We turn in the Word of God to the first epistle general of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 1 through to verse 21. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, seeing what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel, unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. May God give the blessing to the reading of his precious word. We come now to the Lord in prayer. O gracious God, we come unto thee, and we pray that thou would remember us in thy mercy this evening hour. We come carefully, for we recognise afresh our sin. We have failed thee even this day, O Lord. Cleanse us, Heavenly Father. We would seek it now, for we desire to know that we know that we have that fatherly forgiveness and that accompanying comfort and peace. O Lord, we beseech thee, we seek thy face. We come to thee in the name of our precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for him. Unto you who believe he is precious, we have just read, and he is. And may we hold him dearer this evening hour. May our love be cultivated and therefore ripened, and we pray that we might behold him by faith, and may we know great joy, we pray. Bless the preaching of thy word, and let us return to thee in prayer. Help, O Lord, we beseech thee. So be with us now, we pray. Draw near to us, help us, O God, and have the glory, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we turn back to that reading, and you'll find my text in verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Dear congregation, the psalmist said, whilst he was looking to the Lord and with love in his heart, I love the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 1. His heart was stirred and his faith was strengthened in the valley. He knew he would get through. And he was thankful for the prayers that had been heard and would be heard. He marvelled at the grace of God. And he, from his heart, where there was much gratitude, made plain afresh his love for the Lord. Oh, this evening, though we cannot see the Lord, tell him afresh that you love him. Consider who he is and what he has done for you. Consider how he has answered your prayers in time past, and you are in expectation that your prayers will be answered in the future. Oh, then renew your love towards him. Now, the Apostle Peter here wrote to those strangers, that is, Jews, who were not in their homeland, who were scattered throughout that area, which was known as Asia Minor. Turkey, it's known today by. Well, this epistle was written chiefly to the Jews. After the inscription and opening address, Peter makes known his thanks to God for the various blessings that have been bestowed upon him and bestowed upon them. They were facing affliction, yet one day it would be past, and further blessings would await. Now from verse 13, in light of these things, he exhorts them to holy living. God has blessed you. The Lord will help you. Oh, that you would live a holy life for him. Now come with me to verse 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Oh, they were so to live their lives in a way befitting of the gospel, a way that glorified the Lord. They were to be concerned about holy living. As he gives this exhortation, he reminds them of their precious Saviour, who suffered for them and died for them, that they were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, as we see in verse 19. And as we consider him who loved us and gave himself for us, ought we to so live a holy life for the Lord. And as we see here then, they were reminded of the blessings that were bestowed upon them. We could consider further election, and the prospect of a blessed eternity, enjoying eternal life. They were to consider Christ, and they were to so live in a holy way. Dear brothers and sisters, so should we. Our lives should be becoming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should be perfecting holiness. In Philippians 1, verse 27, we read, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now going back to verses 6 and verse 7, we note again that they were an afflicted people. However, they were men and women of faith who had a wonderful prospect before them. Blessings were secured. Well, Peter makes reference to Jesus and his appearing. And then in verse 8 he says, "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." He commends their faith. They were believing and they had love towards the Lord and they had a measure of joy in their soul. You see, in the midst of their trial, their faith shone and it was commended. Oh, as we continue on in this present season of trial, oh, that we would exercise faith and that our faith will be commended, also our love. Now we come tonight to verse 8. And I'd like us to consider verse 8 under three headings. First of all, precious faith. Secondly, genuine love. And thirdly, joy unspeakable. First of all, precious faith. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith. Now notice what Peter says here. "Whom having not seen, ye love." Now we just take those words to begin with. They could not see the Lord, yet they had love in their hearts. They were looking to him. There could not be love if there was not faith, first of all. "For we walk by faith, not by sight. Whom having not seen, ye love." Now in Hebrews 11 verse 1, the apostle describes the general nature of faith. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." They were believing in things, in God, in Christ, though they could not see the Lord. Just give you two examples. First of all, we believe that God in the beginning created this world. We were not there, but we as the Lord's people believe it. The Bible confirms it. And we look to the Lord having faith within, and we without any question believe that the Lord made this world. This is another illustration. I believe with all my heart that my Saviour was born in Bethlehem, in a place where animals were fed and sheltered, that he was held in the arms of Mary. None of us were there, but oh, we clearly and firmly believe it. And we rest in the Saviour and his word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now we read here, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." They couldn't see him with their bodily eyes, but with the eye of faith, they were beholding him. And that's a wonderful truth, isn't it? We cannot see the Lord with bodily eyes, but we behold him at this moment with eyes of faith, looking unto Jesus. Just stop and consider this evening hour. Pause in the busyness of life. Pause in the midst of this pandemic. The Lord is there. Little earlier I just went outside the vestry and I looked up. Looked up towards the sky. And I just considered that the Lord was there. He's there. He was looking on me. Looking down. and he sees us. Remember that one of old said, "Thou God seest me," and he does, he sees us now. There's no hindrance to his sight, there's no barrier that prevents. He sees us now. He knows I am here. He knows all that are living here upon earth. He knows them all. Yet only a percentage knows that he is there, for many dismiss. And further, only another percentage have saving knowledge and know him to be there in their hearts. Like Job, we say, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." What an amazing testimony from Job all those years ago, in Job 19, verse 24. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth," and so do we. He's alive. Death could not keep him. It's a wonderful truth there, isn't it? Death could not keep him. We know he is alive in the glory. We can't see him, but we're beholding him with the eye of faith. And we know one day with bodily eyes we will see the Lord. What a wonderful prospect for us who love the Lord. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." I know it. There's no question in my heart this evening hour. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 12 we read, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I believed. And I'm resting in that which I've committed unto him my whole life, that he will keep me, he will preserve me, for he that hath begun a good work in us will perform it." We're looking unto Jesus, though we cannot see him with bodily eyes. Well, Peter here spake of their faith, their precious faith, for it is, isn't it? It's a precious faith. Do people speak of you as being a believer? Can people say this of you, "Whom having not seen, ye love"? You're looking, you're loving. Oh, what a wonderful thing to have precious faith. Let's just open this up a little further. First of all, let's consider the gift of faith. It's a precious gift, isn't it? Given to us by nature. Men do not have faith within their hearts. That's all so plain to see, isn't it? So many do not believe in Jesus. We've witnessed strange things. We've witnessed a virus sweeping around this world. We're thankful for those who have come to faith, but so many dismiss the gospel still. There's no faith within. It's the state of many today, isn't it? There's enmity. By nature, men do not have faith. And consider further at this point, a man cannot produce faith within himself. Let me use an illustration. You consider the winter time. The fields are bare. Will the oaks grow? I like my oaks, my porridge each day for breakfast in the winter. But will the oaks grow if the farmer does not sow them? The farmer must go out and sow the oaks in the bare ground. If he doesn't, there will not be a harvest. It doesn't just happen, does it? No. They must be put in. Ebenezer Erskine wrote, "Before the implantation of faith, nothing but atheism, enmity, ignorance and unbelief overspreads the face of the soul." Faith needs to be given. It needs to be implanted within by the Holy Spirit. What a barren place the soul is. What a barren place. We're leading on. Faith cannot be passed on to others. Grace does not get passed down from generation to generation. There was an old clock my grandfather had. It was a lovely old clock. a great big pendulum behind a glass door. And as a boy, I used to watch the pendulum going from one side to another and the clock ticking. Well, my grandfather was given the clock. When he passed away and my granny went into a rest home, the clock was passed on. And my sister now has the clock. But it doesn't work like that with faith, does it? It doesn't get passed down from generation to generation. Parents cannot give children their faith. Neither can ministers of the gospel pass faith down. No, it doesn't happen like that. It's a gift from the Lord, a precious gift, and it must be put within. Or just think of the precious gift in Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Oh, what a gift. Have you this gift? Have you the gift of faith? And have you through this gift received the unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ? Has the Holy Spirit put this precious gift within your heart? Has there been a work of grace within your soul? We who love the Lord, let's be thankful today. Faith was put within. We have this wonderful gift. Let us use it. Let us exercise it. And as we think of the gift of faith that's put within by the Holy Spirit usually works by means. And so we read in Romans 10 verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit puts faith within, and the word is being used often. Oh, for the preaching of the gospel in our land to be heard again and again. Oh, what a precious gift it is. Well, as we move on, it is faith that focuses on Jesus Christ. It is faith in Jesus Christ. What do we read here in verse 8? Whom having not seen ye love. The apostle has been speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen ye love. Love towards Christ. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. Yet believing. They were believing in Jesus Christ. The general object of faith is the whole word of God, as we see in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. However, the main and principal object of faith is Jesus Christ. Saving faith focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Acts 16 verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith focuses on him. One is found looking to Jesus, the Saviour, who came into this world and suffered and died on the cross. The Saviour who came. The Redeemer who will bring his people safely home to glory. The Redeemer who gives eternal life. It's faith in him. Just turn with me to Hebrews 12 verse 2, these precious words. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto him, dear brothers and sisters, just look to him now. He is the author. It began with him. Life was put within. Through his Spirit, faith was put within. He's the finisher. He will see you safe home. And you will see Jesus at the end of the journey. You look unto him. Where are you today? You struggling? You perplexed? Look unto Jesus. You concerned about the future? You look unto Jesus and roll the whole burden of life in view of the future unto him, but also at the present as well. Faith in Jesus Christ. What a precious gift it is, isn't it? For we behold Jesus, who is altogether lovely. We behold him who died on the cross and displayed such love. Oh, what a precious gift faith is. Exercise faith. Look to him. Look to your guide in the storms of life. He will guide you through, as we see in Psalm 48, verse 14. Trust your shepherd in the valleys. He will protect you. He will gently lead you on. Trust your captain in the battles. We face the battles. Look to the captain who's gone on before. As we begin to move out further of the lockdown in the United Kingdom, there's hurdles in front of us. Look unto Jesus. Young people, look to Jesus. Trust him with the challenges that will come your way. And as the challenges we all face, let's look to him. As a congregation here at Ipsley and other brethren listening on and other congregations, there's challenges before us. Let's look to the captain. Let's look to the King. Let's look to the head of the church. He has promised to build his church. Let's look to him and his word. Trust him, dear brothers and sisters. What do we read here? Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice. Exercise faith, as these Jewish believers did all those years ago. Focus on him. And may you have that confidence in view of the Redeemer. Now there is a cross to bear. The brethren here were suffering. As we note in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, they were being tested. And we will be tested again and again. Well, as they were, so let us be found looking unto Jesus. Focus on Jesus, who has gone on before. Well, let's consider secondly, genuine love, whom having not seen ye love. They had never seen the Lord before. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Those believers, they're seeing the Lord now. But when the apostle wrote here, they hadn't seen the Lord, yet they loved him. Where there is saving faith, there will be the grace of love. They were looking to him and they were loving him. Faith appears and other graces will appear. It's faith in the beloved, isn't it? Song of Solomon 8, verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Here's the church, here's the believer. They come from the wilderness of unbelief. Yes, we could say they're in another wilderness, this world. But oh, they're leaning on the beloved. They love the Lord. And their leaning goes together, doesn't it? Whom having not seen, ye love. You leaning on the beloved. Often I used to lean on my father in the services. Sometimes I would go to sleep. Leaning. You leaning on him at this time. Whom having not seen, ye love. I'm leaning on thee, Lord Jesus, and I love thee. When I see Jesus, I will love him even more. But I love him now. Love is a precious grace, isn't it? It's different from a natural love. You think of a love between parents and children. You children, you love your parents. You put in a card, love you, Mum. Love you, Dad. Or you may send a little text or a WhatsApp message. Love you, Mum. Love you, Dad. That is, if you're old enough to be able to use WhatsApp. You may give them a kiss. Brothers and sisters, you love each other, don't you? You give each other a hug from time to time. There's love between a husband and a wife. We're told in Genesis 24, verse 67, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. There was a love. Think of the unconverted husband who loves his unconverted wife. There's a natural love. The unconverted talk about love. Reverend John Brown of Haddington writes of a natural affection. And we encourage people to love one another. There's a natural love. Sadly, there is also a sinful love. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is helpful, but not the love of it. It's the root of all evil, a sinful love. Consider Moses for many years of his life in an unconverted state, live for the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, there were the pleasures of sin, and he loved those pleasures. So there's a natural love, a sinful love, but here we're thinking of the spiritual grace of love. In 1 John 3:14 we read, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You see there, before life, that is spiritual, there was no grace of love. No spiritual grace of love, this spiritual grace. But oh, the new birth, faith was put with them. And love appeared as well. And we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We have faith now. And there's this grace of love, this spiritual grace within my heart that the unconverted do not have. They do not love the Lord, do they? They do not love the brethren. Oh, what a blessing to love the Lord now began on his side. We love him because he first loved us. He loved the elect with an everlasting love. In the new birth, grace was put with him because of him. There is love to the Lord and love to the brethren because of him. What a blessing to have love and to be able to say to the Lord, I love thee. Can you say that now? I love thee. I know my love is so cold at times, colder than it was in the heart of Peter, I'm sure. You know that cold season for Peter when he denied the Lord? Where was the exercise of love? But all love came, aroused in his soul again, did it not? And he said to the Lord, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee after the resurrection of Christ. Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest, Lord, I know that thou art there. I'm looking to thee. I feel my sin. I feel my failings. But, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest I want to love thee more, 10,000 times more. But thou knowest that I love thee. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Do you say that now? Are you looking to Jesus by way of faith? Are you beholding him who is altogether lovely and saying, I love thee, Lord Jesus? Tell it often. It's good to tell one another, is it not? Maybe our spouse or our children. Often, I love you. In the church, it's good to do it, isn't it? I love you. It's good when we see it at the moment on WhatsApp, the little kisses or the love and prayers. It's a precious thing, isn't it, to behold it and to know it's there. We tell each other, tell it more often to Jesus that you love him. Or to tell him many more times. Now faith is a help to us loving Jesus. Just focus on him. Focus on him and what he has done for you. Focus that he went all the way to Calvary. Does that not encourage our love towards him? Consider his person, he is altogether lovely. Oh, just stop now. Consider his person, his graces, the graces of compassion. Oh, what love. Oh, to love him more. One of old wrote, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. If ever I love thee, my Saviour, 'tis now. You speak to the Lord now about your love. You look to him by faith now. You speak to him. What a blessing it is we can go and pour out our hearts to Jesus. Well, as we conclude, let's consider thirdly joy unspeakable. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not always the case. We know a great measure of joy, is it? Sometimes we may be so sad. But joy does come. and at times were so full of joy. What did Peter say here? You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. They're rejoicing in Jesus. They're rejoicing in beholding him by faith. They're rejoicing in the word. Joy unspeakable. What words could they say? Words failed them to fully describe the joy. With joy unspeakable and full of glory, the believer rejoices. And rejoices in the trial for the glory of God. The believer rejoices and gives God the glory. The believer rejoices in view of heaven glory to come. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. They're looking and they're desiring to give him the glory in this trial. And they're looking forward to heaven and giving him the glory there. Joy unspeakable. We want to know more of that. Not easy at times, is it? But you know you can know a measure of joy when you're crying. You may be struggling. You're finding it hard. But then the Lord just brings a verse home to your mind. And you focus on Jesus. And though you're crying, joy begins to fill your heart. And it grows. And you're left feeling, Jesus, my precious Saviour, whom I love. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, to focus more often on Jesus, to love him the more, and to rejoice in him. Oh, let's turn our eyes upon Jesus this evening hour. May the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, help us, we pray. Oh, to focus on Jesus. Help us to love him the more. And may we know more joy in view of him, and may we give thee the glory. What a blessing it is to look to Jesus. We who are his people, may we do it tonight. And for any without Christ, if it please thee, may faith be put within, that they for the first time would truly look to Jesus, and that they would have love in their hearts. Increase our faith, and increase our love, and increase our joy. Help us in this time of prayer. We would particularly remember today Pastor Thomas Yates. We thank thee for the good news. He has come home and we pray for him. We do pray further help might be given to him, that he might feel a little stronger. O Lord, be with him day by day. We pray for Margaret and Felicity as well. Encompass that family with thy love today and the church it devises. Hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen. At this particular point now, we'll turn to those points for prayer on the sheet. Just a little update on Pastor Thomas Yates. We noticed that he has now come home, so let's give God the thanks. Let's pray for him. Let's pray that he might be further helped at this time. Just before this meeting, I had a email from Barclay School, and tomorrow 96 Bibles will be delivered to the school in time for the leaver service on Friday. So do remember that the children there who will be receiving Bibles at the school. Well, may the Lord bless you in this time of prayer as we look unto him. We turn to our final praise, Psalm 143, the second version, verses 6 through to verse 10, and the tune is, I need thee. Though I do stretch my hands to thee, my help alone, for thou wilt understand all my complaint and moan.
Lord, I do stretch my hands to thee.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.